This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 362.5, down 1.25. July corn, 366.25, down 1.5. September corn, 372.75, down 2. May soybeans, 978.5, down 10. July soybeans, 976, down 12. August soybeans, 971, down 11.25. May wheat, 467, down 10.25. July wheat, 474, down 9.5. September wheat, 483.75, down 9.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices did end lower on Thursday afternoon. Canceled export contracts of soybeans and wheat put minus signs at the Board of Trade today, while good planting progress weighed on corn prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 cents at 340 to 359. Soybean bids were 11 to 12, lower at 946 to 963. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down a penny at 337 to 363. Soybean bids 10 cents lower at 960 to 981. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 lower at 350 to 368. Soybean bids down 10 to 12 at 964 to 984. And wheat bids dropped 10 cents at 380 to 434. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 cents lower at 994 to 1001. Basis steady, ranging from 15 to 22 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $323.90 to $343.90 per ton. That was down $5.30, with basis steady at 5 to 25 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 4 cents lower at 361 to 377, with basis steady to 3 cents lower at 200 to 14 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 5 cents lower at 366 to 368, with basis steady to 4 cents lower at 3 to 5 over the May. 3 to 5 under the May. Soybeans ended down 10 cents at 985 to 992, with basis steady at 6 to 13 over the May. New crop wheat prices today down 10 cents at 453 to 456, with basis steady at 21 under to 18 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 2 lower at 386 to 387. These same elevators dropped their soybean bids by 10 to 11 cents, with locations at 10.08 to 10.09. Soft wheat down 10 to 14 at 467 to 474, and the Milo ended the day 1 to 3 lower at 427 to 429. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 343 to 359. New crop soybean bids at 902 to 928. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 339 to 356. New crop soybean bids at 916 to 927. And in the southern part of the state on Thursday, new crop corn bids range from 341 to 359. New crop soybean bids 904 to 929. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois. Those bids range from 437 up to 462. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, $159.50, down $1.30. June live cattle, $149.70, down $1.20. August live cattle, $148.10, down $1.05. April feeder cattle, $217.55, up $1.02. May feeder cattle, $212.97, down 7 cents. August feeder cattle, $214.70, no change. May lean hogs, $76.95, up $1.62. June lean hogs, $81.42, up 22 cents. July lean hogs, $82.52, up 5 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 30th's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.71 higher in the range of $60 to $70.75, with a weighted average carcass price of $72.98. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 19 to 24, 4 to 5 weights 23 to 26, 5 to 6 weights 25 to 27, and 6 weights and up 27 to 30. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $43 to $48. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 11,881 head. And now for the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 966 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 158 to 165. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 150 to 153. And choice slaughter heifers were 158 to 164.50. Moving on, they had some feeder cattle, starting with the Holstein steers, large threes, 4 weights, 212 to 250, 5 weights, 200 to 238, and 6 weights were 175 to 194. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 weights were 250 to 280, 5 weights were 214 to 239, and 6 weights were 190 to 203. They also had some feeder bulls, 5 weights, bringing 220 to 247. Now moving on to the real livestock auction at Congerville, they had receipts of 217 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 159.50 to 164.50. Choice slaughter heifers were 159.50 to 165. Slaughter cows premiums were 151.50, breakers 105.50 to 114, high dressing 121. Boner type cows 104 to 111.50, high dressing 114.50 to 119. Leans were 92.50 to $100, high dressing 101.50 to 104.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 318 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $73.28, that was $1.94 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $256.90, that was $1.65 lower, with select carcasses at $244.05, that was $2.01 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000. That compared to 105,000 last week and 121,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 425,000. That compared to 428,000 last week and 415,000 a year ago.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear some news on the Waters of the U.S. rule and also about some rural entrepreneurship opportunities. That's coming up after this. Senators John Barrasso of Wyoming and Joe Donnelly of Indiana are introducing legislation to repeal EPA's proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. This legislation would require EPA and the Army Corps to withdraw the rule and rewrite their proposal with consideration of stakeholders and review of economic and small business input. It also requires EPA to adhere to definitions included in the bill, which would limit the reach of a new rule. The American Farm Bureau Federation will accept applications for the Rural Entrepreneurship Challenge June 1st through June 30th. This is the second year of the challenge, which provides an opportunity for individuals to showcase ideas and business innovations. Entrepreneurs will compete for $145,000 in startup funds. They must have an idea for a business that is related directly or indirectly to food and ag. Competitors must be based in a rural community, as defined by the U.S. Census Bureau, and located in a county with less than 50,000 residents or a town with less than 2,500 residents. The top 10 teams will be announced on October 15th. Six teams will win $10,000 in startup funds, and four finalist teams will win $15,000. The four finalists will compete in a live competition at AFBF's 97th Annual Convention in Orlando in January. Farm Bureau will work to connect top-scoring teams with resources for crowdfunding loans to help them jumpstart their businesses. For more information, you can visit strongruralamerica.com/challenge. Invasive weed species are a headache for farmers all across the nation. They're difficult to control, compete with crops and natural vegetation, and, to add salt to the wound, many of them were entirely preventable in the first place. Illinois Wildlife Action Plan Invasive Species Campaign Coordinator Chris Evans.
We usually talk about the term invasive for species that have their origin in other countries, somewhere outside of the region, and they have been introduced into the United States. These species, because they're introduced from other regions, they often lack kind of natural predators, you know, insects or pathogens that kind of normally act as a check or a balance for these species. And then this lack of that check or balance has allowed these species to have the ability to grow very quickly, to form dense stands and expansive areas.
The rub with these weeds is that they have to be introduced to the area. Some of these introductions were done intentionally and quickly grew out of hand.
They have to be introduced into the area. Many were introduced accidentally. They were brought over as contaminants in seed or soil or other materials. A lot of our invasive plants that we deal with now, our major ones, were actually introduced intentionally in the past, either as ornamentals for agriculture or, you know, for wildlife purposes. It was kind of the going theme 50 years ago or so to bring the new exotic plants in. We thought they were great. They would be interesting for wildlife and add to our area, and people did that without the realization that they would then become problems in the future.
Invasive weeds and their ability to have expansive stands becomes most problematic for both natural wildlife and agriculture.
When they invade natural systems, you know, like a forest or a prairie, they have pretty large ecological impacts. They can displace native species, reduce habitat quality or food availability for wildlife. And then in terms of agriculture, they really can impact production, ultimately the economics of agriculture, through competing with your crops, reducing yield, and then increasing the cost necessary to manage your crop.
With a lack of natural controls, the cost of controlling invasive weeds in an agricultural setting, while hard to calculate, is never cheap.
Monetary costs can be somewhat difficult to estimate. One national estimate from about 10 years ago puts the value of just simply of lost crop production due to weed species at somewhere around $33 billion a year nationally. And then you add to that about $7 billion nationally in control cost for these. So at a large scale, they're having a major impact. To a landowner, it really depends on how much and what species you have, but some of these species can, if left unchecked, can devastate an agricultural field and just ruin a crop production.
The good news is that given time, problematic invasive weed species can be brought under control and pose a less significant problem to wildlife and agriculture. The bad news is new species keep cropping up.
The issue of invasive plants is one that is changing. Species that were the top species, the major ones that landowners, farmers were dealing with 20 years ago, they're still present, they're still here, but they're kind of way down on the list. There's so many newer species that have come on in the last couple decades that it's changing. It's changing on how they need to do it, what species they need to address. So it's something that a landowner, when they're managing and when they're coming into farming, it takes a lot of effort to kind of stay up to date on the new issues. One example, when I first started working in this field 15, 20 years ago, the species that I heard from most Midwestern farmers that they dealt with was multiflora rose, particularly in their pastures. It was, every day we talked about multiflora rose. And then now it's still present, it's still around, but it's probably not even in the top 10 of landowner problems.
Evans says that for anyone who is hoping to effectively combat invasive weed species, a proactive approach rather than a reactive one is best.
Especially nowadays, we have better technology out there. There's resources readily available. And so to get ahead of these species, it really pays to educate yourself on what are the major species in your area and then take steps to control them early before they become a big problem. We talk a lot about preventative measures, so cleaning equipment, monitoring areas that's had some kind of disturbance or that may have had something move from off-site. Looking for these species early and tackling them then is going to be cheaper and easier than reacting to them after they become a problem.
Evans says for anyone who is interested in learning more about invasive weed species and how they can prevent them from becoming a problem on their own property, the best place to start looking for information is your local university extension office. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.